The title of tonight's lesson is, Does It Really Matter What I Believe? It's a lesson that comes out of denominationalism. Does it really matter what I believe? Some people say it doesn't, but I'm here this evening to prove that it does matter what we believe. We look in Hebrews chapter 11. We see a sort of hall of fame of believers, of men with faith. Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. His actions still speak. His obedience still speaks. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that came through faith. We act according to our beliefs. Noah and those people had never seen rain before. So for God to say, you need to make this because there's going to be water that comes from the sky, people made fun of him. They thought he was crazy, but he worked diligently because he believed in God. If we believe the right things, we're going to act in a right manner. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, and from it flow the springs of life. If we believe the right things, we will act correctly. But if we believe the wrong things, our actions will show. We see the Pharisees in the New Testament put on these airs that they were very holy and very righteous. But Jesus was able to see through those things. And today we have some that put on that same air, that they're fantastic Christians, that they're go-getters for God, yet behind closed doors, they're not as they seem to be. If we believe wrong things, we will act in a wrong way. Matthew 12:35, the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person of his evil treasure brings forth evil. In Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of life. If we believe the wrong things, we are going to act in a wrong manner. Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. We see that different beliefs lead to different results. We can look right here. We've got palm readers, and we've got witches. And then, this was a real treat, Wiccan, love spells that work. You know, I actually did a little bit of research on the Wicca, the witches. And I was like, I want to find one of these spells. And because they can cast spells for money and for love. And there was one website that had a laundry list of things that he had spells for. But I searched that website and couldn't find a single spell. Everything always resulted in, hey, email me. He emailed me. So I was looking, couldn't find a single spell. And I didn't want to give the guy any publicity, so I covered it up with the astrological sign of Virgo. Because I was born in September, I fall in line with a Virgo. And you know, Facebook is really interesting, and it puts up horoscopes, and people are silly enough to believe them. I mean, never do I see any of them say, hey, Virgo's out there. You know, it's June 15th, better stay in bed all day. You leave the house, you're going to be in a car wreck. No, it's always, look out for something positive. Treasure's around the corner. And then people are, oh, yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And you know, you look at those things that say, you punch in your eye color, and it pops it back. Brown-eyed people are loving and warm and make good friends. And of course, all the people with brown eyes go, uh-huh. Then you pull up Green Eyes. Green Eyes people are nice. Nice. So we see all of these different things. You've got palm readers. And these different things can pull people away. What we trust determines our belief. So we have to consider the beliefs of witchcraft, sorcery, and astrology. These all replace God as our source of trust and confidence. It's aggravating to see people post on their Facebook these different types of things. And it's like, if you're a Christian, you look to God. You look to the Bible. You do as God would have you to do, not look up in the newspaper to find out what your secret lottery numbers are. But I guess it goes to say, I lump the faith healers and the psychics all together. If faith healers were real faith healers, they'd be doing so in a hospital. And if psychics were really psychics, they'd win all the lotteries. But we don't see any of that happening, and that's why it's ridiculous. Some beliefs determine how we trust. Some people want to trust in things like this, but as for me, I'm going to trust Almighty God. You know, some beliefs determine how we worship. If we worship correctly, then God will be pleased. We look throughout the Old Testament, and we find the sweet-smelling aroma is that of obedience. We look through Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 1, and we read about the burnt offerings. And we see three different types of burnt offerings, with the herd, with the cattle, and with the birds. And with each of them, there's a conclusion, a sweet-smelling aroma to God. Sweet-smelling aroma to God. That sweet-smelling aroma wasn't the burning of an animal. That sweet-smelling aroma was obedience to God. God always desired obedience. If we come together to worship God in a way that is how He would have us to worship, it's pleasing. But if we decide to come and worship God how we would want to be worshiped, we see what Jesus says in Matthew 15:9. In vain do they worship me, teaching His doctrines the commandments of men. As we said earlier, Abel, even though he was murdered, still speaks to us today because he was obedient and did as God would have him to do. Our second point this evening, our actions have consequences. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. You know, we don't live in a vacuum. We have to be in the world, but that doesn't mean that we have to be of the world. When we look at the consequences of some of these things, consequences are everywhere, positive as well as negative. You know, for each and every action that we have, there's a ripple effect that goes into place. If you're having a bad day, and you come across someone and they say, "Hey, how are you?" And you say, "Go fly a kite, I never liked you. I don't want you to talk to me. I haven't had my coffee yet." Ridiculous commercials of McDonald's. "I hadn't had my coffee yet." I'm like, I wouldn't want to talk to that guy after he had his coffee. Guess I'd evangelize to him, of course, but I don't know if I'd want to hang out with him. Well, if he's a Christian, I'd want to hang out with him. I'm just talking the wrong way now. There's just no stopping here. I'd still be his friend, but he doesn't seem like a real nice guy. The fake character in McDonald's commercial. So we consider the consequences. I will be editing that out of the audio sermon. Positive and negative. If we're having a fantastic day and we talk to someone, "Hey, how are you doing today? It is so good to see you." That might put somebody in a better mood, and they're going to go and do the same thing. That's the ripple effect. You know, we look at some of these positive and negative consequences. So-called innocent fun isn't so innocent when one considers the potential consequences. Most sins start out relatively harmless, but end up costing much more than originally intended. We consider the unwed mother whose life is completely changed because of one night of fun. The vegetative son or daughter who thought just one snort wouldn't hurt him or her. And the family denied their right to live because of the driver who didn't think that he had had too much. One of my friends in college was at a party in Hot Springs, had too much to drink, drove the wavy roads from Hot Springs to Arkadelphia, and hit a family head on in their van. He died a horrific death, and that family today is still feeling the aftermath of that. One of the sons is paralyzed from the waist down for the rest of his life. If I had heard correctly, the parents both needed serious facial reconstruction. Now, I remember going into one of my professor's offices and said, "That's a real shame about this guy. Are you going to be going to the funeral? Are you going to go to the visitation?" And he said, "No, I think I'm going to be visiting the hospital to talk to the family that was injured because of his decision." And at first I thought, wow, that's really hard-nosed. And the more I think about it, he had some comforting to do, and he understood that the decision that this guy made was going to have an everlasting decision with this family. These are all consequences of wrong action, which started with wrong belief. A little bit of sin is okay. A little bit of sin is not okay. We should be striving for purity. The Christian who lives by the rule of love will choose his actions accordingly. Love compels us to have right beliefs, because we're going to study to show ourselves approved, and that means we're going to be a more responsible individual. In Romans 13, 9 and 10, "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good." Christians in a community who run businesses should never be accused of being swindlers. There was a man in Arkadelphia that just passed away. And his nickname around town was Rusty Ripoff. Because if you were going to do business with him, it was believed that you were going to get the raw end of the deal, that he was going to overcharge you. You wouldn't see that in his obituary, though. But nowhere should we have Christians that someone in the community goes, "I've done business with them before, and they're scoundrels. You know, they did me wrong, and they claim to be Christians." We as Christians should be setting the standard for dealing with those who are around us. We should be setting the standard for loving people and showing them that we genuinely care. When we look to the 119th Psalm, we see God, because He loves us, tells us what is right and wrong so that we will know how to make good choices. I love having the Bible. I've said before, and I will always say again, I'm glad I live in this time and not in the first century. I would rather have our Bible in printed form and digital form than have to rely on miracles. I like having everything that God would have me to know at my fingertips. I love that we have a God who wants us to know how to be right with Him. We look at the 119th Psalm in verse 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The 119th Psalm in verse 11, "I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And in the 119th Psalm in verse 9, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word." You want to live the best life that there is to live? Do as God would have you to do. Do as the Bible would say. Our third point this evening, happiness results from believing the right things. This world is so focused on happiness that they view carnal happiness as the height of being happy. They view sinfulness as being happy. That's not what God intended happiness to be. When we look in passages, we see Jesus taught so that those who believed could have joy. In John 15, verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." No doubts. If you do what the Bible says, you will go to heaven. There are some, even gospel preachers, say, well, you just can't know. You just can't know. I think with John 15:11, they're telling Jesus he's a liar. I mean, we see Paul knowing his drink offering being poured out in the latter part of 2 Timothy. He knew. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Am I going to be happy doubting where my eternity is going to be? We can have that happiness. Happiness results from believing the right things. That takes effort on our part. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 28, you have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. A correct belief brings us hope as well. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, we read, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that this inexpressible and filled with glory. Correct belief brings us joy regarding our salvation. I like to have joy. Correct belief brings joy to others as well. In 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. What John writes here mirrors closely to what Paul wrote to Philemon. I am full of joy that you're doing what's right. In 2 Corinthians 11, we see that Paul, part of the things he was enduring was anxieties about the places he was leaving, for fear they would turn back to Judaism, or for fear that they would turn back to the paganism. He was nervous about that. You can only be in one place at a time. But imagine the joy they had knowing that there were people that were doing what's right. We as Christians can take joy in our lives knowing we're doing what's right, and that should change our demeanor. That should help us to be more positive people, ready and able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So the conclusion of our lesson, if we're going to tie everything into a nutshell, it is important what we believe. Some people have said it's not important. It is very important what we believe. Our actions are based upon our beliefs. The things we go out and do are things that we feel are okay. It's a shame to ever see a mugshot of someone who claims Christ in the paper or on television. It's sad, and they can repent, but you have to wonder, what's their beliefs on what happened? Our actions are based upon our beliefs. Consequences follow from our action, and this is two ways, positive or negative. Only you have the choice of how you're going to act and what type of consequences will go with that. Happiness, biblical happiness, results from believing the right things. We have the inspired Word of God. I really enjoy going out to the Oaks, getting to see Ola May. And Jody does our song leading. Daniel's there for the Lord's Supper. And all of us take turns doing different things. And Frankie was out there today. It was great. I loved having the sergeants out there. But one of the things that we talked about was happiness comes from the inspired Word of God. And I love archaeologists. And I especially love atheist archaeologists, because they go digging in the Holy Land and all they're doing is continuing to prove the accuracy of the Bible. I love it. It's fantastic. We can know that the Bible is the Word of God. Happiness results from doing what the Bible says and knowing we have a God that we have hope in, that if we do what's right, we'll spend an eternity with Him forever. This evening, if you're not right with God, do whatever it takes to get right with God. If you have trouble with a belief, if your actions haven't shown who you really are, and you need prayers or you need to repent, do so. There's no shame in getting right with God. But if you're not a Christian, I would encourage you to become one. If you've heard and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're ready to repent of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, and being immersed into the watery grave of baptism to walk in a newness of life, ready to be faithful until death. True happiness comes with that. And it's not a miraculous happiness. You're not going to grow wings. You're not going to float. Nothing like that's going to happen. But happiness can come through our study of the Word of God and knowing that we're doing what God would have us to do. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.